Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Career Confidence Podcast with myself, Georgie Hubbard. And today I am doing a solo on an episode that I have been asked to do for a little while now. And I really wanted to give this some thought because this is something that I know so many people struggle with, find really challenging, and that is mastering interviews. Now, as some of you know, and if you're new here, welcome. If you are a frequent listener, thank you so much for tuning in again. I have been in recruitment now for the last 12 years. Yep, 12 years. Can't quite believe I am saying that. But as you can probably imagine, in that time, I have seen just about every single scenario that you can possibly imagine. I've had people not show up for interviews. I've had people walk out of interviews. I've had people ace interviews. And gratefully, that's been the majority of my career. But you still do see people make quite common mistakes. So I really want to avoid you and anyone that you know, love, and care about avoid making those mistakes. So I've sat down and I've really thought about this. So I'm always looking at, I guess, patterns. And why do some people go in and ace an interview and get the job? And why do others fall short at the last hurdle or, you know, can't quite nail the interview and they're having multiple interviews each week and they're just sort of left feeling helpless because they're just not quite sure what they're doing wrong? And the first thing that I would just quickly just say is that, look, people are busy. People don't want to sit down with you for an hour just for the sake of their health, right? So if you have secured yourself an interview, first and foremost, congratulations. That is amazing. What that means is that that person has decided that you, on paper, have got the right skills and experience that they are looking for. Now, that means that they do not want to waste their time. Like, they are busy. They're inviting you into the office or they're inviting you onto the Teams call, however they're going to conduct it, because they've seen potential in you. Okay. So that's the first thing I want you to remember. And I think that's really, really easy to forget, right? Like, so many people get hundreds of applications and you have been chosen. So straight away, wear that, own that, believe in yourself, believe that you can get the role. I honestly do think that so many people self-sabotage because perhaps there's this small part of them, or maybe a large part of them, or maybe it's a part of them that's so subconscious they don't even realize they do it, that go in and self-sabotage because they don't believe that they are capable and worthy of getting that job. And I'm here to tell you, you are. If you have got yourself an interview, you have got just as much chance of securing that job and that opportunity as anybody else. So that is point number one. Okay, believe in yourself. You've got the interview. Congratulations. Now we need to make sure that you're set up for success. And these are some of the things that people get wrong. So the first thing that I want to highlight is that when we think about an interview, it doesn't just take place from the moment we sit down in front of the person that's interviewing us. It starts from the preparation, the pre-interview preparation phase. And I'm going to say this word to you three times now. Research, research, research. The reason why so many people go into an interview, and I've done this before, we've all been there, is because we have not prepared properly, okay? So the first thing I want you to do after you've acknowledged the fact that you are worthy and fantastic and deserving of this job is to start researching the company, okay? So you want to research the company culture, the mission, the key projects, look at news articles, like do as much research, dive deep into this company and this organization. What about the company interests you? You know, start thinking about a few questions you'd like to know. Start thinking about, okay, like, I wonder what the culture's like. Have a few questions about the culture. But really make sure that you are researching the company. The next piece that I want you to do is look at the job description, okay? And thoroughly look at it. Look at those skills, look at those experience and ask yourself, how do my skills and experience align with what they're looking for? This is absolutely key. And you should come up with a few scenario-based answers to really illustrate why your skills and experience are perfect for the job that they've got advertised. Okay. The next thing I want you to do is I want you to look up who is actually interviewing you. This honestly has helped so many of my candidates I've put forward for interviews feel actually quite calm and relaxed. I've even encouraged them to go and connect so that person actually knows that this person is doing the research. Trust me, these little subtle things go such a long way. Like there was a scenario that happened a couple of weeks ago and the client rang me up and just said, Georgie, I was so impressed, I'm going to make up the name, with Sandra's knowledge about the company. It was so impressive. And do you know what? For that reason alone, we've decided to take her through to second rounds. She was so well prepped. She asked some really intelligent questions. She'd studied the role and she went in and she absolutely shone. And it is another prime example of why being well researched and knowing the company inside out, knowing the job, can really set you up for success. Okay. The next thing I want you to do is know your resume inside out. Now, this is the, I guess, slight concern I have with people who just chuck their resume into ChatGPT or get someone else to write the resume for them. If you do that, hey, I'm all for it. We're all time poor. I get it. But make sure that you know exactly what's written on that resume. The last thing you want to have happen is, right, Georgie, tell me about this situation that you had where you increased sales by 150% and you're sat there going, oh God, did I write that? Like, or you're going to be on the back foot. So you need to make sure that you know your resume inside out. You've got your 3 to 5 key achievements that match the job description, the role, and you need to make sure that you are very well prepared to talk confidently about those skills and experiences on your resume. So that's absolutely key. And one of the things and the tips that I use to really prep my candidates is the STAR scenario. Okay. So STAR stands for situation, task, action, result. I'm a really big advocate for storytelling. I think when we're telling stories, we get people to really buy into us. We're able to sort of really paint a picture, give some really good scenarios. But if we go off on a tangent and we're not getting to the point of a story and we're just sort of going in and into like all the details, remember, it's not a podcast. You know, somebody just wants to know, get to the point. How can you help me? What are you going to bring into this business? Your stories need to be short, sharp, concise, and to the point, which is why I do love the STAR method. So think about it: situation, task, action, result. So we're going to go into a bit of an example of that in the moment. But that's the first piece I want you to really understand why researching is so powerful. You're going to feel less nervous. You're going to be well prepared. And you're just going to go into the interview feeling really calm, knowing your stuff. And that in itself is just so impressive. People know when you're underprepared, right? And what it does is it kind of tells the employer or your potential employer, well, if this person isn't taking this interview seriously, do they really want this job? What are they going to bring to the organization? And is this, I guess, an example of their true nature and their true character? Like, are they going to take this job seriously? Are they going to really benefit us as the organization? So first impressions really, really count. So please, I cannot emphasize enough, do your research and be prepared for the interview. So going back to that whole STAR method, because one thing that comes up quite often, right? So some of the feedback that we get at CH Solutions when we've had interviews is those that do really well, like I said, often they're well prepared. The client calls us to say, yeah, that was fantastic. They spoke so well. They spoke confidently. That comes up a lot. We'd love to take them through second round. It's because they've been able to really, I guess, showcase why their skills and experience match what the client is looking for. And this comes back to how you position yourself and the stories that you tell. So sort of thinking about that STAR situation, right? So the first thing, like I said, is situation, okay? So as an example that I can think about for me, so someone says, Georgie, give me a scenario of when you've had to fill a really challenging requirement in the past. So I could say, well, look, when I was a senior recruiter at XYZ recruitment company, I was given an opportunity to fill a data scientist role. And this particular role had to have experience with machine learning and Python. The client was in the financial industry. They also wanted somebody with some financial knowledge as well. The role had been open for 4 months and the client was getting really impatient. So I was basically tasked, okay, second piece tasked, with finding 3 candidates within a 6-week time frame and presenting them to the client and getting this job filled within this deadline. So just to pause there, I've described a situation. I've gone on to what the task was. Now I'm going to describe what action I took. So the first thing that I did after I'd really taken this job brief was to really dive deep into what was the absolute necessary skills, not just what the nice to haves were, what was the absolute must. So once I understood that, I was then able to go away and really do some fantastic research into who else in the industry hires this particular skill set. So I started headhunting from these companies. I joined some data scientist groups and started interacting in there and getting to know some candidates. I also reached out to my expansive network of data scientists and made sure that I was leaving no stone unturned. What was the result? Well, within a couple of weeks, I had 3 outstanding candidates, all with financial experience, all with the right skill set. I presented them to the client. The client wanted to interview all 3 of them. And within 1 week from sending that shortlist, they hired 1 person. And on top of that, they also referred me to another client. So I managed to open the door of another business as well. So this is how I would, I guess, describe if someone said to me, give me an example of when you've had to fill a challenging role. I describe a situation of this role had been open. It was a challenging role. The task, I had a really tight deadline that I had to meet. I had to get this job filled within 6 weeks. The actions I took, you know, I really understood the role description. I went above and beyond. I headhunted. I did some research. I joined some groups to find these people. The result was within a couple of weeks, I had 3 people in shortlist. And within the 1 week of presenting them, one of them got hired. And I also got a referral from doing such a great job with this client. So think about a story that you could tell in your own industry where you can describe a situation, a task, what action you took, and the results that you got. That is such powerful storytelling because it just keeps it short, sharp, and to the point, and it puts you as the authority. It puts you in a position of like, this is what I can do. This is what I'm capable of. So the key mistake I see people make when it comes to interview is they just waffle on, they don't get to the point, and then the interviewer is sort of left feeling a bit confused and you haven't actually answered the question, okay? So when you're thinking about your answers, keep it short, sharp, and to the point. Think about situation, task, action, result. They're the 4 things I want you to think about. So if you need to pause it right here and think about, okay, what are some scenarios that I've been in that could really, really illustrate a fantastic job that I've done, a problem that I have solved, and how I can really bring my skills and expertise to this business, okay? Now, obviously, I recruit in technology. And I'm not a technologist, so I'm not even going to try and attempt to answer a technical question here. But the key piece that I would just, I guess, advise any developers or anyone technical out there is don't get lost in the details. Again, some of the time you're going to be speaking to HR professionals or people that aren't even technical. You do not want to lose them. Okay, so just keep to the key points and answer it as precise as you can. And if you do get a bit like, I guess, stumped or you know, don't panic, just take a breath and then just come back to the moment and be like, sorry, let me just go back to what I was just saying there and answer the question. But it's really, really important not to get lost in the details, not to speak too fast, focus on what you're saying and really give some thought to your answers. Okay. And just remember, you know your stuff. You have been doing this for years, okay? So again, go back to what I said at the start. You're there for a reason. You're not just there because the interviewer wants to waste an hour of their morning. You're there because they want you to get this job. They want you to be good. Okay. So remember, you're the expert. You're there for a reason. And just make sure you don't obviously get lost in all the detail. So that's really, really key. How you answer questions are absolutely key. Think about that star formula. The third piece then I want you to really, really think about when it comes to interviews is your nonverbal communication. Honestly, I can't tell you how important this is. And it is equally as important if you're interviewing online. And I'll give you a scenario of actually this generally did happen a few weeks back. We had a situation where somebody was interviewing online. And I think people, when they're interviewing online, forget that people can actually see them. And this particular person came on the Teams call and they just were not dressed appropriately. Their body language was just completely off. They had their chin resting on their hand, arms crossed. Like, it was just a disaster. And I just want to remind you that if you're interviewing online, this still matters. Nonverbal communication, body language, whether you're in person or online, is absolutely crucial. Another scenario I had the other day, the client rang me up to say that the person they were interviewing hadn't looked at the webcam. So make sure that, you know, when you're interviewing, you've got your eyes lined with the green dot, which you'll see on your laptop, or if we've got a webcam, make sure you're looking into that, because that's how you're keeping eye contact. Don't look at yourself, look at the camera, okay? Keep the eye contact. That's super, super important. When you don't know the answer to a question, don't sort of look down at your feet and shuffle around. You know, you could look up, you could look to the side, but don't look down. That sort of makes you look like you don't really know what you're talking about. You're not feeling confident, okay? But eye contact is absolutely crucial, especially when you're on Zoom, and obviously is equally important when you're face to face. So that's the most important thing. So once you've kind of, I guess, got that good eye contact, you also want to be so aware of your posture. Like I said, those folded arms, or, you know, resting your chin on your hand, it just doesn't send good signals, okay? Sit up straight, lean forward, show engagement. So, so important. You could even do like mirroring techniques. So you could mirror the interview's energy to build that rapport, okay? But like, again, that's probably quite advanced. But the most important thing to think about is maintain eye contact, and also don't be like starey. That's just, you know, a bit uncomfortable. You might also like subtly look away, but just keep soft eye contact without sort of overly staring. Sit up straight, lean forward, show enthusiasm. Another trick that I use as well is if you're interviewing on Teams, just nod. Just show that you're listening, that you're being encouraging of what they're saying as well. And this goes back if you're interviewing someone as well. Like, I was in a scenario the other day, I was on a meeting and it was via Teams, and the person, I thought the computer screen had actually frozen at one point, right? Because this person just sort of like was just there behind the screen, just almost just like not expressing anything, no emotion, it was a bit strange. So just make sure that, you know, you're nodding, not like a nodding dog, not constantly, but you're just encouraging that person. It shows that you're listening to what they're saying. It shows that you're agreeing with what they're saying. So these are all just subtle things that go a long way. Obviously, smiling is really important as well. You know, showing that, you know, you're showing that, so those friendly, it can also make you more memorable. Using hand gestures as well, quite naturally, to emphasize key points. Like, I am somebody that does like to talk with my hands. I think sometimes it's something I'm aware of, because it can also be a bit like, sometimes it can be a bit like a nervous thing for me as well. So it's just whatever you feel comfortable doing. But yeah, talking with your hands can also be a nice little sort of body gesture as well. But be very, very aware. Another thing that I'd also say is, on the flip side of body language, like folding arms, playing with your hair, shuffling your feet, like picking at your nails, tapping a pen, be aware of the things that you do because you're nervous as well. Okay. So again, this all comes back to self-awareness, but these are all just really, really key things to remember. But body language, nonverbal communication is really, really key. The fourth piece that I always recommend people do is have some thoughtful questions for the interviewer. Right at the end of every interview that I've ever been in myself, or obviously got the candidate's feedback, they've always said, "Do you have any questions for us?" And if you sit there and you have no questions, it also sort of shows that you're underprepared and maybe you're sort of not that keen. So have a think about some questions that you want to know. Like, you, one of the questions could be, "Oh, well, I'd love to know, like, what does success look like in this role? Or what are the some of the biggest challenges that the team is currently facing?" Right? Like, show interest in them, show interest in the company, but have a few questions that you really want to know, maybe about the team, about the business. Now's probably not the time to ask about, maybe salary or flexibility or how many holidays. Like, that can come down the track. I don't recommend doing that in the first interview. If you're working with a recruiter, I'd advise asking the recruiter that as opposed to the hiring managers. Because, imagine if your first question is, "Well, how many holidays do I get?" Right? Like, you want to ask something a bit more intelligent, a bit more thoughtful. So be prepared with a few questions ready to ask at the end. And then obviously just end with a strong, statement, make sure you reinforce your interest in the role, express your excitement about joining the team. And you could even summarize why you think that you're a really good fit, right? Like, showcase that you want the role, showcase that you are excited. You could even say, could you tell me what the next steps are? When do you foresee that? When will I hear back? You'll get a sense of if the interviewer is obviously thinks the interview's gone well as well by asking that question. And then at the end of the interview, you could always send a thank you note, again, reaffirming your enthusiasm and keeping you at the forefront of their mind. So again, these are all just some good tips that I have seen work really, really well. And if you do them, you will have a really, really good interview. But look, there's no denying, obviously, that interviews are nerve-wracking, that they can really make people feel anxious, okay? But like I said to you at the start, know your worth. Know that you are there for a reason. Like I said, they've seen your interview on paper. They're like, "Yes, this person's fantastic. Let's get them in for an interview." You're there for a reason, okay? So know that first and foremost. Secondly, please, 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 please do your research. Never, ever turn up for an interview underprepared, because it's just not going to go well, okay? First impressions count. So think about your non-verbal communication. How are you presenting yourself? Like, think about, what are you going to, wear that day? Wear something smart. Also wear something that makes you feel good, right? We look good, we feel good. We rock up to an interview, with our shoes unpolished, with stains all over our clothes, with, our hair all over the place, right? Like, we're not going to feel good. Okay, so let's make sure we put our best foot forward. Let's make sure that we're presenting the best version of us, okay? I can't stress enough the importance of, if you're interviewing on Teams or any online video conference, the importance of looking into the camera, having your camera on. Had a situation the other day where the candidate didn't know how to turn his webcam on, and it was the interview, the client interviewed a black screen, right? Like, it goes without saying, that person's probably not going to get the job, right? You're interviewing for a technical role, you can't get your webcam to work. Come on, right? Not a good scenario. But these are all things, be prepared. My first thought was, "Well, why didn't that person make sure that, that his laptop was working correctly?" We just need to be, we cannot be flippant with interviews, right? We need to be prepared. We need to be putting our best foot forward. And like I said, the interviewer is not trying to catch you out. They want it to go well. They are time poor as well. So look, I really hope that you have got something from today's episode, and practice makes perfect, right? So practicing with a friend, a family member, if you're nervous about going in for an interview, it's so powerful. Like, any time I'm doing something that is outside of my comfort zone, I will practice. If I'm going to do a talk, if I'm going to do a presentation, I will spend hours standing in front of a mirror, practicing, pretending that I am presenting to the room. And you could do exactly the same for interviews. You don't need to spend hours, but you could certainly spend, you know, maybe 30 minutes to an hour just practicing some scenario-based questions. How would you answer it? Utilize that STAR technique, like I said. Like, honestly, if you take anything from this episode today, just practice telling stories in this way. Situation, task, action, result. That is so powerful. It will make you think about getting to the point. It will cut the fat, and you'll literally go in and you'll be able to go boom, 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 boom. This is the reason why I'm a fantastic candidate for this opportunity. The interviewer will be going, wow, this person's really prepared. They definitely know their stuff. Let's get them in for a second round. Let's get them in, and hopefully you will secure the job. So that is today's episode. And if you want me to go into more detail about anything that you're struggling with in your life, in your career right now, please reach out. I absolutely love hearing from you. I know that today's episode was one that a lot of you have requested. So really think about those points that I've made today. And if you are on the market right now, don't get disheartened if you're not getting the interviews. It is a competitive market right now, especially in technology. Do your absolute very best. Make sure you're well prepared. Think about those scenarios-based questions and really how you're presenting yourself, because it is also as important to make sure that you're in the right state, okay? And if you have been rejected a couple of times and you might be starting to doubt your ability, or you might starting to lose a bit of confidence, right? Like, really think about what energy you're giving out. It is so important. So before every interview, you know, go for a walk, get to the gym, go and get like your body moving, the blood pumping, think, like, visualize yourself. Like, we didn't even talk about the power of visualization, but it's so powerful. Like, before the interview, close your eyes and visualize yourself in the interview. Visualize how you want it to go. Like, so many athletes picture themselves, visualize themselves winning that gold medal, right? Competing, doing well, the feeling they're going to get after running that race or achieving that goal. Do that, just do it. It's so powerful. So before the interview, close your eyes, think about how you want to feel afterwards. You want to feel proud, you want to feel happy, you want to feel empowered, right? So really connect with that vision, with that feeling ahead of time, and go in with that confidence and that belief that you are deserving of that job. You are capable of getting that job. And honestly, I do think so much of this is mindset and what state we are in, because you could be as prepared as anything, but if you don't believe that you're capable, if you're not in the right headspace, if you're not in the right energy, and if you're not in the right state, that interview is going to pick up on that and you won't get the job. So I'll leave you with that. I mean, I could go off on a tangent on that in itself, but it's really, really important to think about the energy that you're giving off as well when you're walking into these organizations. So believe in yourself, have the career confidence. Obviously, call this podcast that for a reason, because I do honestly believe that underpins everything in our lives. So believe in yourself. You've got this. Reach out to me if you would like to me to talk about anything else. And if you've got anything from today's episode and you wanted to give me a little gift, please just leave a review or a little comment. It honestly would mean the absolute world to me. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Have a phenomenal week wherever you are, and I'll speak to you again soon. Take care. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you've got this far, that honestly means the world to me and lets me know that you've got a lot of value from today's episode. So if I could just ask you to do one thing, pull out your phone and please leave a quick review. It honestly would mean the world to me. It will help this podcast grow and get our message out there to more people. So if you could do that for me, that would be amazing. And please reach out and just let me know what you want to hear more about, what you're interested in. It will just also help me make sure that I'm continuing to speak to topics that are relevant and also find guests that are real true experts in what you want to know more about. So have an amazing day. Thanks so much for doing that, and I can't wait to share the next episode with you.